Thanks, Nathan, and thanks to everybody again who has pledged so far in our winter membership campaign. On Maryland Morning Today, we'll start by continuing our conversation about the particular ways that race is having an impact in this very peculiar election cycle. All of Hillary Clinton's victories in the primary so far have included large majorities of African-American voters, and much to the chagrin of the Sanders campaign, most of his victories, or near victories, have been in states with a largely white electorate. In recent weeks, prominent black writers like Michelle Alexander have argued that Secretary Clinton does not deserve the support of African Americans. And as strong as Clinton's support among black voters has been, in South Carolina, for example, black turnout was down 40% from the primary that was won by Barack Obama in 2008. So last week, I spoke with the author and activist Steve Phillips, who contends that Democrats should concentrate their electoral efforts and resources to engaging people of color rather than chasing white swing voters. So let's talk about all this with Dr. Kay Wise Whitehead. She's an associate professor at Loyola University, Maryland, in the Department of Communication, and the author of several books, including Letters to My Black Sons. Dr. Kay, good morning. Always good to see you.
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
So over the last several weeks, a lot of prominent writers, not just Michelle Alexander, but folks like Jonathan Capehart, Charles Blow, Crystal Wright, and The Telegraph have published essays about why black voters should or shouldn't support Secretary Clinton. Some of them are pro, some of them are con. But in big magazines and newspapers, The Nation, Washington Post, New York Times, Michelle Alexander, the writer of an incredible book, The New Jim Crow, which is excellent. About incarceration rates in the United States. The last line of her piece is, "Move aside. It's time to reshuffle this deck."
Yes. She's talking about this notion of it's time for the sleeping giant to wake up and to stop being pushed into this two-party system. And she actually looks at the work that W.E.B. Du Bois said. You just can't assume that I'm automatically going to make a difference in either one of the parties. The same evil, it's just split up between two parties. I think it's interesting when we talk about who is supporting Hillary Clinton within the black community. Even though she has a large percentage of people supporting her, she does not have a lock on the millennials. And I wonder if it's because they didn't grow up with her. I mean, you figure the Clintons got introduced around 1992. That's when Bill Clinton played the saxophone on Arsenio Hall. That's when we were talking about things like it's a black thing you don't understand. And that's when Toni Morrison dubbed him our first black president. And for people who were 24, 25 at the time, like I was, you grew up with the Clintons, with seeing him as your first black president until Barack Obama came along. And even then, it took a while before black voters moved away from Hillary to support Barack Obama. It wasn't until they started winning primaries before they actually moved away. The Clintons have this role within the black community, perhaps dubbed by Toni Morrison, perhaps dubbed by Arsenio Hall, where they stand for what we believe. But when we look at the policies under Bill Clinton, if we look at what happened to the black community under Bill Clinton, you know, the one strikeout rule, what happened to, you know, mass incarceration rates, what happened to the notion of, you know, being severely impoverished in this country, it happened under Clinton. So there's this assumption that he's working on behalf of us, but he is not. I want to add, people said, well, you can't really judge Hillary based upon what Bill did, right? But you can, because she reshaped what it meant to be the first lady. I mean, she fought for policy, she campaigned, she stood beside him, and she actually still supported many of these policies even up until 2008.
Yeah, but again, she wasn't the president. And
no,
even Mr.
Not.
Clinton now and Mrs. Clinton have both backed off many of those policies that they now say they regret, particularly the three strikes and you're out rules, mandatory sentencing, which led to these incredible incarceration rates, and they certainly understand it. But as we see, people, even if they're not supporting her, a lot of them simply are not showing up to the polls. I mean, turnout in the African-American community and people of color in general is going to be a real challenge for Mrs. Clinton if she in fact becomes the nominee. And that's by no means a lock at this point.
I think what's interesting is that we're seeing this across the board. I mean, not just in this presidential race, we also saw in the mayoral race here in Baltimore City. How do we get marginalized communities out to the polls? How do we get them to show up and make their voices count in the same way they did in 2008, right? There was this wave with Barack Obama. So that is the concern, getting people to the voting polls, but also looking to speak to the issues. Yes, she is apologizing. Yes, she wasn't the president. But when you look at her policies, and this is what Michelle Alexander is talking about. Her policies that she's standing on now are not showing anything different. It's one thing to apologize. It's another thing to campaign and say, we're going to do something different once I'm in office.
And of course, as you mentioned, the millennials did not grow up with the Clintons. No. And they are the people fueling things like the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes, they are.
And we see the horrible scenes that are going on when Black Lives Matter protesters disrupt rallies of Mr. Trump, for example.
Oh, that was very dangerous when I saw.
There's been violence now.
Oh, it's very
violent. More than one place. There's this a guy who's been, you know, who's on the hate watch list at the Southern Poverty Law Center. He was a student at Towson University.
Yes.
His name is Matthew Heimbach. He formed the White Student Union at Towson University. And people need to remember that, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center lists 14 hate groups here in Maryland.
In Maryland
alone. This
is
not something that's all, you know, in Mississippi somewhere.
We definitely are the Upper South. I think what's interesting is that when Barack Obama went into office, people had this notion that we were post-racial. Look at what we've accomplished. We put a Black man into the White House. I think over the last 8 years, we've really been able to peel back this bandage and show how deeply divided we are as a nation. The rise of hate groups, the pushback against Black Lives Matter, even the danger that people feel going into a public rally and expressing a different opinion when you go to the Trump rallies. Or even there's a wonderful video that just went viral where a young woman is talking to Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton in response says, why don't you go run for something? Well, there's this pushback against young people who are demanding to have their voices heard. And I think that's exciting. I think it's going to change everything. I don't know who the lock is going to be at this moment, but I know it's a race we all need to be actively involved in, and we need to be clear about who we're choosing to lead us forward.
In the midterm elections, 40 million fewer people voted than in the presidential elections.
Yes.
What's it going to take for Secretary Clinton or Mr. Sanders to get people engaged and really fired up about this election?
I think you need more local support. Just like you have town hall meetings, you need to have people on the ground, like Clinton did when she, you know, won and going across with Super Tuesday. She had people on the ground who were connected to the community who got people out. Sometimes you have to organize buses to go get people. You have to make sure the polls are opening. They have to be clear about how they register. You take registration to the colleges. You take it outside of Giant. You go where people are.
This is exactly what Steve Phillips was talking about last week. Fascinating. Okay, always great to see you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
We'll see you again the next time. Dr. Kay Wise Whitehead, she's an associate professor at Loyola University, Maryland in the Department of Communication. Her latest book is called Letters to My Black Sons. A couple of weeks ago, Dr. Kay was invited to give the keynote address at a Black History Month luncheon of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. That address will be shown on C-SPAN tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we've got a link at wipr.org/Maryland Morning. After a break for news, our movie mavens Dietz and Hornaday will join me to talk Oscars and to recommend a few gems that might make next year's Academy Awards. Thanks to everybody who's made a pledge so far in our membership campaign. I appreciate your support. I also appreciate the chance I get to do this show with my good friend Nathan Sterner.